Today on Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network, we'll share with you two conversations which dovetail beautifully. One will attempt to answer the question, when do we as parents talk with our children about sex and the rest of the related social and physical topics?
It just so happened to be my oldest son was almost 11. Now, some people have told me they feel it sooner. Some people say, oh, no, it can be later. I think it's to where you feel there is definitely a teaching opportunity, and to completely remember that, you know, it's never too soon if your son or daughter is mature enough to handle the conversation.
Like many things in life, there are no clear black and white guidelines. You have to tailor things to your specific family. Now, the second discussion will also address the parenting role, but we'll paint with a much broader brush, dealing in part with the unique support that should take place between a husband and wife.
Those who are really lenient by nature may need to be more vigilant, and those who are maybe more strict and focused on procedure need to be more loving. And our Christ was both vigilant, he's strict, and he's loving. So we have a little bit of both in this book, and I think that whatever we are, we need to focus on the other spectrum to bring balance to our children.
Some really good advice. The kind of thing that you often hear from a business consultant when they talk about being a leader and building a strong team, but not the kind of thing we usually equate to good parenting. We'll hear a lot more in just a minute. Welcome to another edition of Come Receive the Light, one of many ministries available through the Orthodox Christian Network. OCN is a nonprofit outreach and is supported through donations from listeners just like yourself. To find out more, go to the website, myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Now, Come Receive the Light is the flagship audio outreach of the ministry, and we'd love to hear from you in response to this particular broadcast. You can interact with us via the website. Again, that's myocn.net. Our primary written tool is a blog page called The Sounding, which gives you an opportunity to interact with writers and thinkers from around the world. It, too, is accessed through the website. Again, that's myocn.net. This past week, we celebrated the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. here in the U.S., and there's an excellent post on The Sounding called Four Orthodox Christian Lessons from Martin Luther King Jr. I encourage you to check out that blog post and the others on The Sounding. Maria Eliadis of Zoe Press talks with Father Chris as our first guest today about her book, Orthodox Christian Parenting, Cultivating God's Creation.
Welcome, Maria. Nice to have you on the program.
Thank you, Father. It's nice to be here.
What are some of the pressing issues that parents face today, those challenges?
Well, it's a really long list these days, Father.
Now, give us the first few.
I think the difference here is whether it's parental challenges of being a nice person in the world or parental challenges as Orthodox Christians. Mm-hmm. As Orthodox Christians in general, the challenges are the same, but it's the way that we approach them that would be different. Mm-hmm. Everybody is pretty clear about internet dangers, drugs, the breakdown of the nuclear and extended family. There's an awful lot of concern for what our children are learning and at what age.
Right.
But if we're Orthodox Christians, we have a different goal and a different way of teaching our children, because our goal as Orthodox Christians, parents, is to help our children help themselves to get to paradise, because that's why we're created and why we're born. So if we teach our children to love Christ first and foremost, then the challenges that everyone faces in the world are viewed differently.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
No, sure, it makes sense. Sure, it makes sense. Now, this book is about parenting, but the first three chapters actually deal with time before a baby is born, marriage, pregnancy, possible loss of a baby. I mean, why did you start there? How do these events shape our parenting and thereby, I guess, our children?
Well, we originally didn't plan to start that way, but we realized that we don't actually parent in a vacuum. we don't just arrive as parents one day, that there is a process. And the book evolved to the point where, because we don't arrive as parents one day, how do we best arrive there? So that's why we have a part of the book focused on how do we choose a spouse? Why try and choose an Orthodox spouse if possible? We don't all come with a faithful family and come from an Orthodox base with our cultural background or a community to teach us. So we thought we'd put it in the book to give it a full rounded experience for the reader.
Okay. And the book is made up of a series of quotes. Some are only a sentence long, others are a few pages long. Why did you choose that particular format?
In two words, tired parents. Sometimes if we're really tired, we can read something a little bit longer. If we're extremely tired, maybe we can handle a paragraph. Mm-hmm. So the book was designed for the parents to just stop in, read a little bit, and leave. So they don't have to be overwhelmed that they have this great daunting task of reading this book from cover to cover.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They can look at a subject and say, oh, I can manage that tonight. I'll read that.
I'm sure there are no parents out there listening who are tired right now, right?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, why is it that parents really do seem to be tired? I mean, before, I remember my grandparents, they were tired, but they slept very well, and they would just do their work, and it was primarily manual work. A lot of us have tremendous conveniences today. They didn't have a washing machine, for example. They didn't have a dryer. And yet they were up and moving and getting us going. But today people really do seem stressed out, don't they?
Boy, don't we? Especially this time of year, we add a little bit more stress to our lives. But when your grandparents, they didn't have a washer and dryer, but they didn't change clothes four times a day either.
That's true, too.
They'd wear something for a few days before, or a week, even if it wasn't muddy or dirty.
Right.
They'd wear it again. Right. Us, we think about something for a second, and we throw it in the washer. And all of our, I believe sometimes our modern conveniences aren't really convenient. They're just sort of adding more things for us to do all the time.
You know, I remember this thing with my grandmother. It was like a wooden ball, and she would shove it in a sock, and she would actually darn the sock. She would fix the sock.
Well, maybe I'm dating myself now because my mother used to do that, and we used to do it as children.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And it was the most fun sitting at her feet, watching her doing that.
Exactly.
And she would talk to us. I mean, there was no technological. I wasn't pumping my fingers and texting something. I was actually watching and engaging with them.
It's what our children are lacking, because our children wake up in the morning and they go 18 hours a day until they drop. Our children have no peaceful times like that.
No.
We really have created a society where there is no time to just be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the computer, we're watching TV, we're going to school, we've got homework. You know, it's a constant, nonstop. Plus, we're all driving. We keep adding activities to our children's life to make them feel like they're well-rounded. Sometimes the activities take over the life of the child and the parents.
Mm-hmm. Many of the quotes are attributed to individuals, but a good number have no listed author. Who are those by?
Well, that's the process of the book. And when we began the idea of formulating a book, I sent out the question, if you could offer one quote or piece of advice to parents, what would it be? So priests, priest wives, laity answered. It was kind of a reverse Dear Abby idea. I would ask the question, and they would give the answer. And early on, we also sent out a question to our contributors, do you want your name attached to this? And overwhelmingly, it was decided that no, it should be anonymous, whether it's priests or lay people or priest wives, because or even monastics, because then people form an opinion on what the person said based on their role. What we're looking at here is the thoughts, not the people. But of course, when we're quoting saints, church fathers, lengthy articles, we have to recognize that.
Okay. I want to just ask you maybe one or two more questions.
Great.
The issue of spiritual guidance is always something that comes up. Comes up when we have clergy meetings, too. The issue of, you know, too strict, too lenient, somewhere in the middle. There are places in the book that that contradict each other, for example.
Of course.
Some authors say that parents are too lenient. They might be more vigilant about recognizing sin in their children, while others say that parents are too strict and they should focus more on loving. What do we do here? How do we discipline our children? Who do we listen to?
Well, because we're all different, this book is all about balance in parenting and consistency. And balance is so important that those who are really lenient by nature may need to be more vigilant. And those who are maybe more strict and focused on procedure need to be more loving. And our Christ is both vigilant, he's strict, and he's loving. So we have a little bit of both in this book. And I think that whatever we are, we need to focus on the other spectrum to bring balance to our children. So if we're too rigid and we want the house perfectly clean, that's not good for children. But if we just throw everything all around and don't clean up, that's also not good for children. Mm-hmm. So that can be applied spiritually to the whole situation.
Okay. And would you share one of your favorite quotes from the book with us as a final question?
It's really hard to say because we had 800 pages of material and we cut it down to three. So I think these are my favorite 300 quotes.
Oh, my gosh.
But every day that that we read and learn, I think when I read The Life of a Saint, they're my favorite saint. And then the next day I could read a new Life of a Saint, and they're my favorite saint. So I think that all the quotes apply to me and to everyone at different times in a way that would make it our favorite. This week, I went into my college-age son's bedroom, and I picked up a book that Yerunda Emilianos wrote. And I flipped open, and my son had marked a page that St. Macario said, hasten to enter the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem, which is also paradise. And Elder Athanasio says, do you see what he says? Hasten, don't just sit around, get up, get out here, be on your way, make a start. And you should hasten to enter paradise because it's your business to do so. This is why you were created. This is why you were born. So it answers that question that every child goes through. Who am I? Why am I here? We're here to love Christ and to enter paradise. And if we work that way, we'll love everyone in our life and we'll grow and we'll be mini saints ourselves. And that's sort of what the whole book is about.
Wonderful. Thanks, Maria, for being with us today.
Thank you, Father.
Maria Eliadis' book is available through the OCN website at myocn.net. Again, the title is Orthodox Christian Parenting, Cultivating God's Creation. The link is on the Come Receive the Light page. Just go to myocn.net and then click on the Listen tab and select CRTL or Come Receive the Light. If you don't need the book yourself, I'm sure you know someone who does. I spent a little time on the Zoe Press site earlier today reading a few of the comments regarding the book, and they are excellent. It's obviously touching a nerve and meeting needs. Again, the title of the book, Orthodox Christian Parenting, Cultivating God's Creation, and our website, myocn.net. And now with our feature conversation for this week, here again is Father Chris.
My guest today is Father Jason Roll. He's the director of the Department of Youth and Youth Adult Ministries for the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America. He's here to offer his thoughts on how we can talk about, well, abstinence, birth control, and abortion with our kids. How are you, Father Jason?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Good.
Let me ask you right off the bat. I mean, why is it important for parents to sort of bite the bullet and have these talks, which can feel, frankly, with six kids, it can feel awkward, and sometimes it even feels unwelcome.
I have to state the obvious. It's important because if you don't, somebody else is definitely going to. Mm-hmm. And it could be their friends. It could be other peers. I mean, it can even be other adults that you may not want yeah. sharing this kind of information with their kids, with their values or issues or you know, how they see these things or these subjects. But either way, I think that if you're truly going to answer the call to be a parent, then it's important to have these conversations so they know where your household stands on these issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, the issues of abstinence, contraception, and abortion, as they're taught in the school or in the public square, are quite a bit different from what we view as Orthodox Christians. So
correct.
Why don't we talk a little bit about age appropriation? Let's start with that. I mean,
okay.
What age do you think we start talking about these issues? I mean, do we start it at 4? Do we start at 5? Do we start at 10, 15? What's been your experience?
And that's all I can really go by is my experience. My oldest son is 12, and my second son is 10. And my 12-year-old, we've been broaching that subject in the last year, almost 2 years now. And it's really just, I'm going on a case-by-case basis, you know, maturity level, questions that they have. I watch their body language when they see certain things on TV and or, you know, if the conversation's brought up by other people in the room, and I go from there. And, you know, one cue I had was, I mean, even before discussing abstinence or contraceptives and things like that, it's understanding what, you know, how these things come about or what that means or what's sex, you know, those kind of conversations. And it just so happened to be my oldest son was almost 11. Now, some people have told me they feel it sooner. Some people say, oh, no, it can be later. I think it's to where you feel there is definitely a teaching opportunity mm-hmm. and to completely remember or always remember that, you know, it's never too soon if your son or daughter is mature enough to handle the conversation. In fact, the sooner the better. You know, when you go to plant a flower, you know, when you put the seed in the ground, you don't wait 10 years to water it. You mm-hmm. know, you water it gently throughout the course of its life, and
you also don't plant
that's
it.
That's how you do it.
You don't plant it when it's snowing. You don't plant it, you know, when the ground is too soft. So
exactly.
So you have to test the water and test to see where you're at.
Exactly.
We've been speaking a lot on these programs the past couple of months about the cultural shift and the technological shift. I'm 60. How old are you?
I'm 42.
Okay, so there's about 18 years in between us. But even in those 18 years, there's been a huge cultural shift into what is acceptable. And then you also have the technological shift, which is the delivery of both positive, let's not go all negative, both positive and negative images that cloud how we look at our human sexuality. So mm-hmm. let's talk a little bit about what we expose ourselves to, what we allow our kids to be exposed to, because I think that also deals with this issue, doesn't it?
No matter the situation, they're going to be exposed to it. It's being taught in the schools, mm-hmm. first and foremost, especially if your child goes to a public school. These conversations are going to come up, and they're going to come up often. They're going to either really see it within their own peers or discuss it. And I think it's a matter of teaching them not so much like telling them, no, 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 what they're teaching you is wrong. It's more or less seeing what they're being taught and adjust accordingly. Mm-hmm. Moreover, I think that in the end, I think we should be teaching and always keeping the foundation of love. Mm-hmm. And what would come with unconditional love to our neighbor and our peers and things like that is no judgment. You know, look, this is what they're teaching you. This is how we feel. This is what being an Orthodox Christian means. It is a little bit contradictory to what you're seeing or what you just got taught on, let's say, abstinence or what have you. However, that doesn't mean we judge our friends, or it doesn't mean we look down on them. We just know that that's not what we're going to do, and here's why. Does that make sense, Father?
Yeah, it does. Let's go to abstinence and contraception for a minute, okay?
Okay.
What we hear a lot now is that all kids should be given condoms starting at 12 years old. That's what we're hearing now, okay? Now, from my research, I've learned that that is not a foolproof method for contraception, for, let's say, the child not to be conceived. It might
right.
be a way to help with the contraction of venereal diseases, but it's not 100%. So it's
right.
sort of a false security. You know, here, take the condom, It's okay if you feel you have to have sex with someone, you can have the sex and you're safe. We always use that word, safe.
Yeah.
Dangerous word. It's like walking on really thin ice like we used to do up north, you know?
Without a doubt.
So can you talk about that and then talk about the glorious part of abstinence? Because there is a good part to abstinence. It's not just about saying no, is it?
No, not at all. Answering the first part of your question, I agree. It's nothing for certain, and yes, it may help against diseases. But you know, the what if is like, that's great, but you can't guarantee the fact that somebody might get pregnant, and then what happens? Mm-hmm. You know, at whatever age are you ready to have a child? And especially, you know, forgetting the obvious that it's out of wedlock. You know, I'm assuming, let's say, in your stereotypical situation. But beyond all that, I agree. It's more or less. I don't like to say don't or no, because as a boy myself, a young boy growing up, anytime I heard no or don't, it piqued my curiosity. Mm-hmm. So I tend to parent with that heart when it comes to sensitive issues. You know, I try to be more loving and proactive. So it's like, let's talk more about abstinence as to the why. Mm-hmm. And anytime in a casual catechetical discussion, I get this question, you know, it's like, well, what's the big deal? Why does it matter? You know, my favorite is, you know, when a young man will say, well, don't you have to test drive the Jeep before you buy it or drive it off the lot? And I say, well, I get the analogy you're using, but if I were to, you know, even add to your analogy, physical relationship within a marriage is not a Jeep, it's a Mercedes. And do you really need to test drive the Mercedes?
Right.
You know, I try to put a funny spin on it, but even just like the people trying to justify, it's so easy to try to justify your stance on it, but it's not meant to be easy. It absence is a difficult discussion, but if you have it and ask the whys, and not even just religiously, but the whys as to what can happen if you do, or what if you don't plan, or diseases, pregnancy, things like that, even just the reasons why emotionally it can affect you if you do these things, and you know, you have premarital sex or what have you. You know, painting the empathy that, or you know, teaching them the empathy to have if you did do these things as opposed to not doing these things. I think a healthy, proactive discussion at least buys them time to have the next time they question you with it, and when they're tempted again, or you know.
But you listen. You heard.
Absolutely. Yeah. At least I can filter it. I can, you know.
All right. Let me ask this question for the parent who might be listening right now. If a child chooses to become sexually active, what does the parent do? What don't they do?
You know, I think that in the end, in my opinion, again, I stay with the position of, I just don't think we, in our heads, if we're like, no, don't, what are you crazy? You know, don't do that. That would be my, here I'm saying don't do that. I don't mean to be hypocritical, but I would suggest just remain calm, take a deep breath, and be very loving and educate and be, you know, more, again, you want to model the behavior that you want your children to have when you get older because they're impressionable.
Well, you're forcing me to use my pulpit here to say what I like to say, which is parents, be parents. And your kids don't want friends. They've got friends. Parents have to be parents. They have to learn when to say yes and when to say no. And I'm not saying it's easy. As a father of six, it's not easy to know. But we have to be role models for our kids. And if parents are sleeping around, you can expect that your children will model that. Don't be surprised. Look in the mirror and see what you're doing and figure it out, not only for your sake, but for the sake of your kids. Let me go to one final question.
Yes, sir.
How do we talk with our children about the decisions that other young people make? I mean, how do we teach them first not to judge, but at the same time hold themselves up to a higher standard? Not that we're better than others, but the higher standard, a purpose for living as we understand it as Orthodox Christians.
You want to teach them an unconditionally loving environment. Show them what it's like not to judge others. You know, we can say don't judge others, but then we start making fun of a certain culture or type while they're listening. You know, I'm talking about teaching them not to judge and actually, you know, modeling that behavior. Again, we have to be the change we want to see in them. You know, if we want them to be loving, non-judgmental, yet hold ourselves accountable in a, and even in a private way to a higher standard, then your children will model that. That is, you know, psychological fact, you know, for the most part, that if you inhibit an unconditional love and then show them like, well, here's what you're being taught, or yes, your friend is doing this, but here's what I think is might be a better situation for you. But again, we don't want to judge that person for doing X, Y, Z. You know, just pray for them, love them. That doesn't mean we can hate them. This is not a black and white thing. Religion is a many colors and many wonderful instances of forgiveness and community. But yeah, I mean, if you feel like you don't want your child to settle in life, or we want to be held to a higher standard, maybe we just don't use certain words and just, and I'm not trying to tiptoe, but I, you know, you don't want to say, oh, we're better, so we're going to do this. You would just say like, I'd like, yeah, you agree. It's just, look, here's what we want to do. What's best for us. And, you know, or I'd like to see us be more like this, or, you know, you probably feel better when succeeding at this, that, you know, and.
Well, we live to the higher standard because we understand there's a higher purpose. And right. We understand there's a higher place in which we hope to reside at one point.
So, right, and there could be a bigger punishment if we don't adhere. Yeah, you know,
I would take I'll take some clouds and harps rather than the pitchforks and the fire, my friend. Anyway, Father Jason, always good to have you on the program. Wish you and the entire staff of the Department of Youth and Young Adult Ministries for the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America the very best as you assist us in leading our youth in this country. Clearly, it's a very serious issue, and we thank you.
I appreciate you discussing this serious issue and not, you know, pretending it doesn't exist, and I appreciate your time and all the great work you're doing at the OCN, Father.
And what a privilege it is for us to work with such a fine group. You're listening to Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network and outreach around the world on the web at myocn.net. Perhaps you'd like to become a Share the Light partner, someone who joins with us financially and supports this ministry through a regular gift each month. A commitment of just 12 months makes you a Share the Light partner. Additional details are available on the website when you click on the Donate Now button. Again, that's myocn.net. I'm Mike Trout. Our host each week is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Thanks, as always, to our executive producer, Ann Dankert. Join us again next week at this same time and encourage your friends to listen as well. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.